Public Radio, 88.9 FM, the broadcast service of Morgan State University, WEAA, Baltimore.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. It's me, Will Mapp, and I'm back. And thank you for tuning in to another Briefcase Radio segment. And this is the Business Tech Insider. I'm here to help Baltimore small business owners look past the hype and use the best technologies to improve and progress in their business. I'm in the big chair tonight for Brother Omar Muhammad. And I appreciate being up here to talk about, you know, technology and gadgets. And tonight, we have a really great show for y'all tonight. I think we're up against True Blood again on Sunday night. But I am here in the studio, and we are here to answer all of your technology questions. So don't be shy and pick up the phone. Please ring us at 410-319-8888. Or you can tweet your questions to BizTech Insider or me directly at WilliamMap3. Also, we are streaming this show live on WEAA.org. So about tonight's show, in this brave new world, small business owners are increasingly using more sophisticated methods and channels to obtain business. The issue is that if business owners are selling their products online, scheduling consultations using mobile apps, and using Facebook and Twitter to generate buzz, those are all really great things. And if you're listening to this show, we've encouraged y'all to use PayPal, Authorize.net, and set up your own custom shopping processes using Magento. Now, this is all great with ease of setup and great flexibility, but as we've gotten more sophisticated with technology, so has crackers and criminals. So for the first half of tonight's show, we're going to be sharing tips and techniques to better secure your small business and protect your data. This is very, very important, and we're at the midpoint of the year, and so I think this is a really good time to talk about it. For the second half of the show, we'll be talking about the state of tech and how your small business can take advantage of newly released products to succeed. We've had an extraordinarily hot summer this year in the tech world. And there's a lot of exciting announcements in mobile and wearable products that we think that your small business can really take advantage of. But if it's BizTech Insider and if it's Briefcase Radio, we have announcements. And so stay tuned for the MAE conference. That's MAE. It's two conferences all wrapped into one that's serving a single mission to help women entrepreneurs do more business. For more information about the MAE conference, please go to www.edacmorgan.edu. That's edacmorgan.edu. Also, stay on the lookout for the Women's Conference. I've been to the Women's Conference. That is the Women-Owned Managed Enterprise Network. I'm not a woman, but there's plenty of great, and I mean great and spectacular information that's at this conference. Also, the closing ceremonies for the Youth Entrepreneurship Summer Business Academy, that's IMAGE, where entrepreneurs making and growing business, is scheduled for July 31st from 1 to 3 p.m. Please call Yvette at 443-885-3663 to RSVP. The IMAGE closing ceremonies are certain to please. This year's youth entrepreneurs will be presenting their projects and presentations. And if you've been following any of the IMAGE or the IMAGE conference on Facebook, there's a lot of really great action that's been going on there. And it's really inspiring to see kids and students choosing an entrepreneurial lifestyle. So remember, Baltimore, we are here to answer all of your questions tech. Call us at 410-319-8888 or tweet your questions to BizTech Insider. We have Hootsuite and Facebook ready to go. All right. So there are a bunch of topics to cover, and tonight I have two guests on tonight's show that's going to help us out. Sitting beside me in the studio is Mr. Herlin Bess. Herlin.
Will. thank you for having me.
Herlin is a longtime software tester for my company, Studio Codeworks, and he has lots of insight into mobile technology in general. And since he's on the receiving end of how business applications should perform, I thought he would actually be a good addition to tonight's show when we talk about mobile and security. Also on the line, we have Mr. Eldon Hawks, who is the publisher for WebsterStyleMagazine.com. Webster Style Magazine writes lots of Eldon himself contributes lots of articles to Webster Style about technology. And if he's on the phone, you know, you can say hi to the audience, Eldon.
I'm here. Good evening, everyone.
Thank you, sir. So with tonight's show, I had a bunch of topics that I wanted to present for this particular show, but I thought security was pertinent. And the reason why is that normally, you know, my small business, our company, Studio Codeworks, we write software, we write apps, you know, we write custom applications to help business owners sell their products online, to market their products. But over the last couple of months, we've had to assist a number of small businesses in setting up secure systems and also recover data. And so with that, there were so many instances of intrusions, breaches, and then there was one case of a small business owner that had an employee leave the company in which we had to recover data from a system in which he walked away with the password and password protected that system. And so I thought that small business owners could use a little bit of insight to help protect their data and secure their business. And since it's close to my heart, even though big businesses like Target, like we all remember Target, you know, last year had that really big crushing
Christmas massacre.
Yes, the crushing data breach last year at Christmas. The honest to God truth is that small businesses are more susceptible to breaches. And if you were to look at research organizations like Gartner and other guys out there, you know, they list a number of reasons, and, you know, they'll say that small businesses don't have the big budgets right. that a Target may have.
To take a hit, that embarrassment.
And, you know, small businesses don't typically put in the right security policies in place. And then also small businesses are too busy, you know, operating for profits than spending time to actually enforce and actually put, you know, these policies in place as well. I agree with most of these statements, but I really think the reason is more basic. Most small business owners, and myself included, you know, we account for the computers, phones, copiers, fleet vehicles, and even the desks and chairs as assets of the company. You know, as a small business owner, y'all get that green personal property tax publication every year that you got to get in at tax time. And so you'll check off all that stuff on your return, but we do not count for the proposals, the documents, the spreadsheets, the presentations, and I would dare say it, your most valuable business asset, and the email addresses of your customers and account holders as physical assets of the company.
The data is very important.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so now, you know, if you were to consider that Wall Street, you know, factors in the sheer amount of email addresses and confirmed accounts as part of valuation. We all know about Instagram. We all know about WhatsApp. Those companies didn't make any money. You know, they had no operating profit and only losses. But between the two of them, they had $2 billion, you know, registered accounts.
Eyeballs. I call them eyeballs.
Which is what gave them, you know, a high valuation. And so for Spotify as well, you know, and to a lesser extent, even Beats. Beats didn't have a lot of subscribers either, but that's a whole other conversation. And so as small business owners, you know, we really should be treating this as assets. You know, registered accounts can be marketed to, inboxes can receive product announcements, all of which ad companies are willing to pay top dollar for.
I think Facebook is probably the biggest example of that, of just the eyeballs and the subscribers, and that's where the valuation goes, you know, what goes into the valuation of what they actually have that's valuable.
Absolutely. So, like, you know, at Facebook, you know, every other post is either one of our friends or an advertisement or a link to download another app.
Every other post.
The money's in the information. That's all it is.
And so the strength of your enterprise security is only as strong as its weakest link. And so, you know, with that in mind, We're going to talk about, you know, how you can secure your business. You can throw up all the routers, all the firewalls and bastion hosts if you want. But, you know, let's go back to Target, you know, because this is really important. Think about how Target's data breach started. It started from the inside out, you know. And so when we think of, you know, hackers and things that we see on TV, we think of a nerd, you know, sitting in a dark room, you know, with a can of Mountain Dew.
And more recently, China.
Well, no, this is an international show. We're streaming online. So we're thinking of a nerd in a hole somewhere actually coding, trying to breach from the outside in.
Right.
If you do any of the research, Target's breach started inside. It started inside the company at a point-of-sale system, of all places.
Okay.
And what is really terrible about this is that there were over 40 commercial off-the-shelf virus scanning packages that could have found that exploit, gotten rid of the code that caused the breach to occur, and cleaned it up.
The 40 solution is sometimes so simple.
Right, off the shelf. And so, you know, you should ask yourself, you know, Target could survive because they have scope and they have size. But as a small business owner, you know, I know that I couldn't survive if tens of thousands of people stopped shopping.
Yeah.
You know, and now that there are still holdouts from Target that aren't shopping at Target.
There are people that I know personally still hold it against them, even though their information or their data may have not actually been compromised or they've been affected. But just because the news came out, they hold it against Target. And
exactly.
That's got to be hard for a small business. Much
yeah, I'm always concerned. I mean, Target itself, and there have been a whole lot of breaches over the years with a lot of different services that I've used or friends have used. And Target is probably one of the largest retailers in the country. If it happens to Target, who else could it happen to? So it really makes you weary about going out and swiping your card anywhere nowadays.
Yeah, and on a personal level, you know, since the Target Christmas massacre happened, you know, I have a Bank of America account. I've received two new cards from Bank of America in the wake of this Target breach.
I was actually embarrassed at a gas station because I didn't know the new card came in the mail.
See?
And they declined me.
Right. And so, you know, from a personal level, from a small business level, Target has millions of dollars that they spend on IT security a year. For most small business owners, myself included, we spend so much time chasing down business, chasing down leads, and working that, unfortunately, security can often fall to the wayside. Now, the good thing, though, is that a lot of security is very, very simple to implement. Like we mentioned earlier, the Target debacle could have been prevented, you know, 40 different antivirus packages available that you could purchase. And so tonight, you know, we're going to talk about security. We're going to talk about some of the basics. Listeners of BizTech Insider may hear some of this stuff. And some of this stuff is actually new that we're going to talk about tonight. And we're going to get, you know, a little bit nerdy and techy on you. And so, you know, Baltimore, if you're out there listening to us, please give us a call. 410-319-8888. We want to hear from you tonight, or you can tweet your questions to BizTech Insider. So let's talk about, you know, really what the basics are. What is an exploit? So if you're listening out there and you're watching movies like Hackers or Swordfish and you see a dude that's up there dancing while clacking away, looking like a handsome Hugh Jackman, that's not the character of the average.
They never look like Hugh Jackman.
You don't look like Hugh Jackman.
And they never look like Angelina Jolie.
You don't look like Hugh Jackman.
They don't know that. Don't tell them. They don't know that.
And so, you know, basically an exploit is a program or a piece of code that can take advantage of a bug or a glitch on your computer. That could be the operating system like Windows. It can also be an operating system like Mac OS X. Mac users out there, you know, computer glitches and bugs run everything. And so basically this exploit will use a bug to take control. For years, hackers would use bugs in Internet Explorer, you know, the world's most popular web browser at the time. And so crackers would actually inject, you know, code into JPEG files, video files, you name it, to actually take control of a computer.
And I believe Apple actually marketed themselves.
You're right.
They use it as a marketing tool. Those guys, they get hacked.
That was right.
Get yourself a MacBook.
I've been to the Apple Store a couple times, and you know they'll talk bad about Windows right in the Apple Store.
Go figure.
But the thing, I was going to mention though, for mobile users, Android and iOS users, if you're jailbroken, the way that your phone is jailbroken is through a bug in the software. They are using an exploit. You know, the guys that create these jailbreak packages are using an exploit.
Is backdoor, is that the same thing?
Like exactly. Backdoor is a little bit different.
A little bit different, okay.
To take over the phone operating system and install Cydia and all the other jailbreak tools that y'all like. With Android is like the wild, wild west. You know, they have more, you know, bugs out there. I know a bunch of y'all are Android users because I hear from y'all all the time on this show. But, you know, the same thing happens there is that when you're rooting your device, it's a little bit different. But they're using an exploit to basically take control over your app. So at the most basic level, security starts at the password, you know, and people don't, you know, take this seriously. We've talked about this before, but if you have passwords, make them strong. You know, use alphanumeric characters plus special characters. This is meaning, you know, use an exclamation point, make it a 1,
make an E a 3.
Uppercase, lowercase.
A Z or 2. Do you think that that's even too simplistic? Have they caught on that I'm using a 2 instead of a Z now?
No. I mean, because the thing is that you still need to have bulletproof or brute force. You need to use brute force techniques to even take control over those passwords.
Okay.
And so you're still doing good practices by doing transpositioning with characters and numbers and special characters. You can still do that. Because okay. The thing is that a bunch of passwords are hard to remember, and so you want to create something that is both strong as well as memorable so you can not have to reset your password all the time.
So instead of password 1, I should use password 1 exclamation point.
Well, you shouldn't use password at the start of your password. But the second piece of this, though, is that you should change your passwords every 90 days. I know this is a pain. I personally don't like this on more secure systems, but it is actually good policy. For instance, you know, we recently had to crack into a system. One of the reasons why we could actually do that was because the passwords don't change very often. And so we used downloadable software to be able to crack into a Windows machine. Internal to your network, important documents and files should also be password protected. Unless you're Omar Muhammad, you know, you're using Microsoft Office. And Microsoft Office, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint allow you to password protect those files individually. Also, now that, you know, sophisticated BizTech Insider listeners on this show know that they're using network-attached storage devices and file storage devices. You need to password protect the individual shares. And you can do this very simple in Windows. Right-click the thing, click sharing, click enable password. It's very, very simple to do, but most people don't do this. On really, really sensitive projects, you should be password protecting the NAS device itself. We work with dentist office, small doctor's offices, and you will not believe how many file shares are out there that are hooked up to wireless networks that can be accessed. And the thing is that we understand, you know, it's very convenient to use wireless networks. But you can go a step farther if you're going to have, you know, access, create 2 wireless networks. Comcast is also giving out routers now. If you've seen this, Comcast is giving out wireless routers that have 2 radios in it now.
Really?
So you can have your private wireless network and you can have a public guest access network connected into your internet access. Because, I mean, if you think about it.
Right, when you have someone over to your house, the first thing they ask is, what's the password?
Exactly.
Right.
And so now, you know, Comcast has caught on to this, and it's also part of their business class ISP service. You set up, you know, your wireless network. Make sure you configure it so that, you know, your file shares and other data shares are on 1 subnet. And,
so it can't be accessed.
Exactly. And then with your guest access, your visitors can come in, log on, surf the internet and do their Facebook and not intrude on your private files.
Like, I know I like to go to Starbucks because I like coffee like the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the public Wi-Fi.
Yes.
And there's always 5 or 6, I'm going to guess, small businessmen
mm-hmm.
working in the Starbucks.
You can see their computers, can't you?
I can see their computers.
Have you clicked on one? I have.
You have?
Yes.
And I always wonder, because, you know, I'm not.
Do they have shares that are visible?
Exactly.
Yes, they do.
Can I just click in and look at whatever they have? Can they click and look at whatever I have? I mean, it's public.
Mm-hmm.
It's public. I don't know if people realize, you know, what they're putting at risk.
Right. And so, again, you know, we talked about the file shares. On, you know, my Mac here, I have several shares that I have accessible back and forth when I'm on the network. With Mac OS, you can password protect connectivity to any of those files. And that's very easy to do. Go in your system preferences, go to sharing, and then you can actually denote which files you want to password protect. And you can set passwords individually for specific files as well from Mac OS.
I know personally I have I do a budget
mm-hmm.
in Excel, you know, real high tech stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I mean, you are high tech.
Adding and subtracting. And I put a password on it.
Yeah.
I mean, because I send it to my wife and I let her know what the password is. But, you know, if I send it to the wrong person, I would hate for them to know my complete home house budget just because I just failed to put a password on it. And it's so simple. You know, you have to do it. You should do it. It's so easy. You should do it.
Exactly.
Agreed.
Exactly. So those are really, these are really basic things. You know, nothing that we've talked about so far requires a lot of money. Nothing that we've talked about so far requires a lot of sophisticated IT budget setup.
So for most small businesses, it's already baked into what they already have on their systems already. They just have to open it up and use it.
That's the key. What a lot of people don't understand is that when you get Windows, you get Defender, you know, you get a firewall that's built in. You get all of these policy settings that you can do. And we're going to talk about data protection here in a second. Is that a lot of this stuff is already in the operating system so that you don't have to buy anything more. And so when we talk about data protection.
And when you say buy, and that's very important to a small business person, because buy means more money, means less profit.
That's
correct. So that's important.
That's correct. And so in data protection, and this is, if you speak with, you know, a CISSP, and these are certified, trained network security engineers that make the really big bucks. When it comes to data protection, the very first step that you should take in protecting your company's data is to lock down your employees. That means when you hire them on, you know, they sign, you know, basically data information security contracts when they sign on. That means that they can't damage your data, they can't share your data, they won't disclose your data. And when they leave, they surrender their passwords, they surrender their locked USB drives, they surrender all those things when they leave. And so that is nothing that involves hardware, that is nothing that involves software, it doesn't involve the cloud. That is just a contractual agreement between you and your employee, and that's like the very, very first step.
Signatures.
Exactly. And so when you think about that, most exploits are caused by humans. You know, even the targeting, they're caused by humans.
Yes.
And so when you have sensitive data, you know, first thing you can do to protect, lock down your employee. To store your data, back it up. You know, in the case of the crack that we actually had to do for our customer, the reason why it was so immediate and such an emergency to get in there was because that data resided on that machine and nowhere else.
On our hard drive. So this wasn't on the network?
Yeah, it was on the network, but it was on that one machine. It wasn't replicated.
Okay.
And so the simplest thing you could do is make physical copies of your data, you know, flash drives, DVDs, USBs. And when you buy the USBs, buy the Kingston Technologies ones that are password protected. You know, these things are used by government agencies that allow certain file sharing. They're used by big corporations like Lockheed Martin. You pop them into the computer. The first thing it does is what's your username and password before you can access any files. And so if you want to do backups but you don't want to have all the bulk, get one of these guys, one of these secure flash drives, create a username and password account, copy your files over. If you lose the drive, it's encrypted. You know, if you have a strong password and you lose the drive, people can't crack in. Yeah. And so that's really very simple to think. These things cost a little bit of money. You know, we're not talking about, you know, the less than $10 USB drive from Micro Center.
Not the free one I get when I go to a conference. And
oh, absolutely not.
Like candy.
Absolutely
I can't
not.
Use that one?
No, no. But they are less than $100 in most cases. And so you're pretty much good to go with those.
That's not a lot of money to protect your data, because your data is worth much more than that.
No, it's not. And the thing is that if you don't want to go with physical, there's always the cloud. And, you know, there's plenty of cloud backup services out there. There's Carbonite. There's iDrive. Even Amazon has an offsite backup system now. And so, you know, if you don't want to carry around the drives or you're scared about losing them or dropping them in water, you can pay for a very, very small fee. You know, we're talking about $30 or less with Carbonite, you know, to send up, you know, tens of gigabytes of data up in the cloud. Back in the day, I would say cloud storage, you know, I'm not too confident. But in today's cloud storage, you don't really have those issues. As long as you're not storing, you know, questionable materials, your data is pretty much yours and protected.
Yeah, I actually use OneDrive. I back up everything.
Awesome.
All of my important documents, everything. Everything is backed up to the cloud, not just for security reasons, but also it's just easy to access anywhere I need it. Anywhere I am, no matter what device I'm on, it's right there.
Awesome. And, you know, and Eldon makes a really good point in that a lot of these new cloud storage services allow you to access your files from anywhere. So that's an iPad, your iPhone or Android device, a PC,
extremely
a Mac,
convenient.
A Linux machine. You pretty much have access to your data somewhere else, anywhere that you want to go. Protection. Update your systems. Now, I know I'll get on the couch and say, I am not a stickler for this. And there's a good reason why. And just full disclosure, sometimes when developers ship new software packages, there's bugs in them.
So you wait.
So I wait. It's true. I wait a little bit. But Target could have been prevented.
But the number one, when you get these packages, the number one, you know, bullet point is security bugs. Everyone I've ever seen from Apple says security bugs, and it always scares me. So you got to download it now.
Right. I'm not disputing that, but I do wait. You know. And the thing is that the Target incident could have been prevented if they had patched their systems. You know, they're running a copy of Windows XP embedded that was fairly old, and so one of the issues that could have been prevented is that if they've just updated their software on a regular interval, that hole would have been patched.
XP. I'm sorry.
You know what? Never mind. So, you know, Target could have been prevented. But so the deal is, though, install the most up-to-date copy of software, but check, you know, verify that the versions of your programs will work. With me personally, I run Mac OS X, but I also use a virtual machine on Mac OS X. And so we're going to get right ahead of the break here for a second. Basically, you need to make sure that your programs work with that particular version of the operating system. All right, so Jamar signaled me we're going heading out for a break, so we'll be back after these messages.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, where we analyze daily hard-hitting news stories that matter, from war and peace to government policies and struggles for justice. Democracy Now! Provides perspectives that are rarely heard in our country. We bring the world to you. Join me and Juan Gonzalez on Democracy Now! Weekdays at 8 a.m. right here on Public Radio WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Peace and blessings. This is Brother Faraji Muhammad.
And Brother Damon.
Tune in every Sunday night at 11 p.m. for the Final Call Radio Show.
We'll share with you the life-saving teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Plus, we'll discuss the issues that impact our community.
So start your week off on a high note with the Final Call Radio Show, Sunday nights at 11 p.m.
Here on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the show. Good evening, Baltimoreans. This is Will Mapp. I'm in the big chair for Brother Omar Muhammad on Briefcase Radio's BizTech Insider segment. Tonight, we're talking about security, data breaches, and protecting your small business's data. Tonight in the studio, I have Herlin Best, one of our longtime software testers for Studio Coworks, and on the phone, I have the publisher of Western Style Magazine and all-around tech geek, Eldon Hux. And tonight, we're talking about, you know, protecting your small business data. And in a few moments, we're going to get into some new mobile technologies that will be helpful for your small business in the second half of this year. We were just talking about patching your systems. Normally on this show, we talk about products, we talk about software, we talk about gadgets, we talk about all kinds of techno stuff. But tonight, after having a string of customers have security issues, I thought we should do a security show. And tonight, it hasn't been a lot of tech and gadgets. You know, a lot of security is common sense stuff, even in the technology world. You know, it's about locking your front door, putting your windows down, pulling the shutters. You know, I mean, it's just really basic stuff. And so tonight, you know, over the last several weeks, you know, we've been in, you know, doctor's offices. We've been in a nonprofit. We've been in some commercial companies that you just wouldn't think would have issues. And we've gone in and done some really, really basic frontline security to help people get up and running. So we just talked about one of the keys of actually securing your systems is updating, you know, your software, updating Windows, updating Mac OS, updating Adobe Photoshop is a big one, and updating your web browsers. Moving forward, though, let's talk about antivirus really quickly. People always ask me, what do you use? I'm not going to say what I use, but I will tell you what a lot of people use. Start with at least Windows Defender. It comes with your machine. It gets updated automatically. If you're running XP or Windows 7, just turn the thing on. You have it. Many big businesses like Trend Micro. I like Trend Micro, too. Trend Micro is very, very powerful. It can scrub your file shares. It can scrub your hard drive in real time. It has an on-demand scan. It's really a great tool, but it's pricey. I'm a big fan of Symantec products. I'm just a big fan of their products. And then McAfee has, you know, its Lord of Followers. And so those are the big three. But as we mentioned, Target could have prevented their issue with 40 off-the-shelf packages. I mean, there's FPROT, there's Avast. There's a bunch of antivirus software packages. Eldon, what do you use? You're a Windows guy. What do you use?
I actually just use the stock Defender that's built in. It's really robust. I mean, I'm running 8.1, whatever the latest update is, so I don't have any issues. I used to run that in conjunction with ABG, but I just felt like with what Defender did or whatever they're calling it now, I didn't need ABG anymore.
Gotcha. So, you know, there's a fan of using what's built in.
And as a small business, you know, owner, you worry about cost. And there's always the adage, you get what you pay for. Is there truth to that, to you, in your professional opinion?
Well, considering if you didn't bootleg Windows, you paid for Defender.
and so,
I mean, you're getting what you paid for there. Yes, there is a lot of merit in getting what you've paid for with antivirus as well. Listeners of this show know that there are some things I believe in paying for, even though they're free alternatives. And antivirus is one of them. Trend Micro, Symantec, McAfee comes pre-installed. Some people think, you know, it's really spyware because it's really resource intensive. But, you know, McAfee has its fans. Symantec has been in the corporate world for a long time.
There are some times you feel like it's slowing you down. So what happens when you're getting the pop-ups and you're getting you want it to be seamless, but it's protecting you. I guess it's still, you know, it feels like it's getting in the way of your productivity. Well, do you have people complaining about that? Or do you accept the, you know, being slowed down for the purpose of being secure?
Yes, it is slowing you down. I mean, when you have the real-time active scan going, it's monitoring your system. So every time that you open a file, the antivirus scanner is scanning that file as fast as it can,
right,
and then returning that data to the program that is requesting that file. So, yeah, in theory, it is slowing you down. For the government, big businesses, there's one day a week. They may vary it from time to time. They usually do complete, full-on, site-wide scan at lunchtime, you know. Right. And for that hour, no one's doing work.
Everybody on the internet at that time. Right?
No one's doing work. And so it's a price that you have to pay. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Listeners of this show know that there's no such thing as a free lunch.
You're going
to
pay for it.
And so you have to pay for it. To close out, you know, the security segment, because I got, you know, messages on Facebook chomping at the bit about wanting to talk about mobile, is to limit your personnel's web access. And I'm going to get to your question, too. We got a question in from Twitter as well. And so phishing is a real problem. And so I have, doctor's offices that have contacted us, you know, that come in and talk about how an employee clicked on a link and now none of the machines work in the network. And the thing is that, you know, we used to talk about getting that nanny, install it, and then, you know, go from there and we can lock everyone out from the internet. That's not necessarily the right way to go. What you can do built into Windows is to set up a set of policies that can limit the web addresses that IE can go to. These are called group-wise policies. If you Google group-wise policies Internet Explorer, you will find instructions on how to not only turn off Internet Explorer permanently, but also limit the number of web addresses or URLs that someone can navigate to. And so this is something that you did not have to buy, small business owner. It is built in to your copy of Windows that you've paid for. And that's a very simple thing. It doesn't require purchasing that nanny. It doesn't require purchasing an expensive Barracuda Systems router. Right. This is on the desktop. And if you're savvy enough, you can write a very small batch file and you can push that policy out to all the machines on your network through Windows. This is why Microsoft software is great. So before we get too far ahead, we have some tweets that came in. So first, from Tax Divas, thank you for tweeting us for BizTech Insider tonight. And her question is, great information, thanks. Is Internet Explorer still risky? Also, please discuss staying safe in the cloud. Thank you. Is IE still risky? That's a loaded question. That's a really loaded question. I would dare say that IE for Windows 8.1, the latest and greatest IE, is probably one of the fastest web browsers that I've used. I haven't said safe yet. One of the fastest web browsers that I've used on the internet. With IE, you probably still have a lot of history in there in the code somewhere. So it's probably less secure, and Ellen's probably going to beat me up for this too. It's probably less secure. It's probably less secure than a Chrome or a Firefox or a Safari. But with that being said, whenever I'm using Windows, I'm using IE. And so,
business owner, do you mandate to your employees what they should or should not be using?
You can. I mean, big businesses do that all the time. Exactly. I mean, you can. And so, yeah, you can dictate what packages your employees can use on your machines.
You can easily download whatever you want and use it, because some people like, just out of preference, like mm-hmm. to surf on different platforms.
I mean, honestly, call me terrible. My wife thinks I'm terrible. I use whatever stock. You know, I'm not one of those browser people. It's like I have to use Chrome or I have to use Firefox. Oh. I use what comes installed in the thing. All I need is a web browser. You know,
that's
me. You know, and that's just me. So Tax Divas, is internet still risky? It's less risky now than what it was before, but you're probably still secure with Chrome, Safari, or Firefox. Eldon may have a different opinion because he's a Windows diehard.
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I just know for what I use and how I use it. You made a really good point. The IE11 for 8.1 is really a very fast browser and very secure. I have no issues with that, and especially since I'm very much touch-oriented with how I do my computing for the most part. That's the browser I mostly use. However, I will say that on my computer, tablet, what have you, I use Maxton, which works pretty decently, and also Firefox as well. I've never been a big Chrome fan, but, you know, much like you will, if it's there and it works, I'll use it. However, I will say, if you deal with any older versions of IE, upgrade as soon as possible, because you tend to find a lot of security issues and compatibility issues, and I find that with other aspects of my professional life that people have upgraded Windows Explorer, so we're still using like 9 and 10, and you find issues when you're using those browsers.
So there you go, from the Windows man himself. We have another question via Twitter from Photo Hunt. Again, thanks for listening to the BizTech Insider segment of Briefcase Radio. His question is, and you know, Mac users always get on people about this, what about Mac security software? Okay, there are Mac security software packages out there. I don't want to offend you, Photo Hunt. Hopefully you're not using anything, but I think they're all ridiculous. And it's not to say that Mac OS X, I pronounce this OS X, not OS 10, is more secure than Microsoft Windows. I don't believe that for a second. But Mac OS X is less targeted than Microsoft Windows. Remember, as much as we may think that Apple is the stuff, you know, Windows is installed on 93% to 96% of the computers out there in the world. So it is a ripe target. Microsoft Windows has a target painted on its back with hackers all the time trying to penetrate its defenses.
Is that because it's probably more associated with big business than, say, other?
That, too. And, you know, traditionally there's always been this hatred of Microsoft and them being the evil empire. But now some people think that's Apple.
Right.
But, I mean, the thing is that, you know, Windows is more targeted. You know, I wouldn't say that Windows or Mac OS is more or less secure than each other. They all have holes. They all have bugs. And the key with Mac, continuously update it. if you're running, you know, Snow Leopard, if you're running Lion, and there are people that run those old operating systems because there are programs that are compatible with those, just keep installing your patches. Photo Hunt. All right. You know, with that being said, we can move on to the mobile. All right. So I've had some people on Facebook, you know, talking about mobile and Samsung. Samsung had big news this week. So we want to hear from you. You know, we want to get your tweets out there. You can call us at 410-319-8888, or you can tweet your questions like Photo Hunt and Tax Divas to BizTech Insider. It's been a blazing summer, right, gentlemen?
Yes.
I'll admit, BizTech Insider listeners love talking about smartphones and apps. Like, every time we have a show, which we'll have another app show this fall, people's juices get stirred. But it's been a blazing hot summer in the mobile world. In June, we had Apple, Microsoft, Google, Samsung, and even Amazon make big announcements about mobile technologies, wearable technologies. And I'd really like for y'all to get your insight and what your observations were from the month of June. And we have a lot of business owners that listen to this show that are passionate about their iPad tablets. You know, Omar Muhammad is a big Apple fan all the time. But we also have listeners that are very, very passionate about their Android phones. And so, you know, we get a lot of clashes on this show. So with that being said, You know, Eldon, he's far away on the phone, so we'll let him start. And plus, he's a big Microsoft fan. So Microsoft was the first out the gate this summer, right, Eldon?
Yeah, I mean, you even go back to April with at least the release of Windows Phone 8.1, the developer preview, which I've been running since then, as I had the fortune to develop a couple of apps as well. And then fast forward to June, where you had the announcement. Well, we had announced the release of the Surface Pro 3, which tends to be, you know, a pretty big deal in a lot of circles.
I think it's a big deal for the business owner, because the difference between iOS and Android devices is that Microsoft devices work well with Microsoft Office, Microsoft Exchange, and all of the corporate infrastructure applications that are out there.
Let me just give you an example. I run, my main computer is an XOPC. It came out in 2010. It's a tablet. It ran Windows 7. I bought it used specifically to upgrade it to Windows 8 when Windows 8 came out. So I run that. That's my main computer running 8.1. I have an Office 365 Pro subscription. I run a Windows Phone with Windows Phone 8.1. So everything is totally integrated, and everything works perfectly for me.
Nice. I can speak from firsthand. One of our customers is the U.S. Census. Microsoft Surface devices are the only ones that are abiding by the security profiles that they have in place.
Really?
And that's, you know, that's iOS. We love talking about iPads and how everyone is part of the cool school with iPads and this sort of thing. But Microsoft meets the security requirements. Microsoft will already work with their file shares.
Right.
Microsoft will also pull their corporate email because of Exchange.
And so, I think this goes back to what you're talking about with the phishing, or I'm sorry, with the security, is because they know big business loves and, you know, will receive this and appreciates it. So that's where they think that they'll get the biggest bang for their buck when they try to intrude or exploit these programs.
That's actually a good point. Because the thing is that for a lot of us, we get caught up in this Android iOS fight, right?
Right.
You know, we get caught up into that whole thing. And then, you know, Microsoft is doing its thing on the side. But at the same time, you know, they're slipping out products that, you know, work for business. You know, if you want Office, you know, you're not going to use Office for iOS, really. You're going to be on your laptop.
Right.
Cranking out your Word doc, and you want to be able to read that very, very quickly. And you can do that now finally with iOS, but before you couldn't. So Microsoft had some big news with a new tablet coming out. And then, you know,
it was the iOS.
Apple came out, right? Apple,
yes.
Apple came out the second week of the summer. And not for listeners, I try to go to these events, but I get snubbed every year. Tim Cook came out, you know, and took pot shots at Android. I mean, he just came out and just hauled off and said only 14% of Android devices run new software. And anyone that has an iOS device knows that they probably have iOS 7 already installed. So Apple doesn't have that
issue.
It pushed
to you overnight, of course.
Yeah. And so for business owners, and so Apple had released, you know, they announced a new version of iOS, no phones, no iPhones, none of that stuff. But they released a new version of iOS. They released a new version of macOS called Yosemite. And so for business owners who have apps, you'll need to work with your developers to ensure your apps work properly on the latest iOS. Listeners of this show have taken steps to create apps that are branding experiences for their products and services. So this means that if you want, you know, your apps to be iOS 8 ready for the fall, you need to be in touch with your developers. Like, we're starting to do some of that with our customers now in updating apps to iOS 8. Also, you know, there's a lot of talk about the iPhone 6 and the bigger screen size,
yeah,
which also means you not only have an operating system that you need to update your apps for, but you also have more real estate.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these are things to keep in mind. It's the summertime now. Apple typically ships out these new updates in the fall, so you have a couple of months to actually make your updates. And then there's El Goog
came out swinging.
Yeah, man.
And they, you know, I thought the one of the big things was the what they didn't mention, which was when we talk about wearables, which was there was no real mention of Google Glass. Like he was the player that was about to be traded, so they decided not to bring him up.
And that's really curious because, you know, for a while Google Glass was this, you know, hot ATAP project at Google, which is their sort of skunk works software, you know, new experimental development. But they didn't talk about it.
Right. I've always been a proponent of seamless and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, Google Glass is the definition of non-seamless and non-simple. If you want to look like a Martian, then, you know, walk around with Google Glass. Until they look like a pair of Ray-Bans,
mm-hmm,
I don't think that there will be real penetration into the regular market or the everyday market. I'm sure there will be an industry uses for it, for people on assembly lines or people working in offices or working in warehouses. I can see a lot of different ways that, you know, you could, you know, make that usable there, but I think we're a few years, in my personal opinion, mm-hmm, from people walking around with Google Glass on, and you don't want people to know you're wearing Google Glass, which is a whole other problem you get into when you get into security and whether or not you should be taking pictures of me and me not knowing it, but that's a different story.
What do you think, Eldon? Because Google, you know, came out and basically said that Apple ain't innovating.
Well, I would much like you guys, I was surprised that there was no sort of mention of Google Glass, considering they had a very big push about wearables, particularly talking about Android Wear, and even, again, trying with television. It's a little bit off of mobile, but it goes into their whole sort of Android strategy with the Android TV. I'm also surprised they didn't mention anything about the Moto 360, because that's really, I guess, the big Google smartwatch that's out there and it's on the horizon. I don't know. I think for me, the biggest thing was Android L. And really, finally, one of the things about Android that I've always despised is that most hardware is low-end or mid-range. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get something like a Galaxy 4, Galaxy 5, or a high-end phone, Android really isn't that great of an experience for a lot of people, especially people that are techies. And the fact that they are taking a page kind of sort of from Microsoft with having a Android that fit all phones, much like Windows Phone fits pretty much low-end phones and high-end phones with Android L, I think that, for me, was probably the biggest step that I thought they took that way to make Android a cohesive experience across all platforms.
You just mentioned something that was really key, Eldon, in that, and I noticed this, is that not only did Google, you know, basically give props to Microsoft and their UI techniques, but they also borrowed a lot of language from Apple at WWDC when they talked about their materials-based UI and UX. I don't know if you've noticed that, but you know, they were throwing out a lot of terms that weren't originally Google terms. And, you know, it's hard to sit up here and call a company that's not innovating when you're starting to really cite or reference, right, you know, Microsoft and Apple, which are your two biggest competitors.
I'm an Apple fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, well, not an Apple fan. I'm not a fanboy, but I own an iPhone. That's, you know, to the extent that I'm an Apple fan. But I always get the feeling that Apple is always fighting against its own popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think Apple has this wait for it attitude. Like, I know you want it. Just wait for it.
Mm.
You're going to like it when it gets here, but just wait for it. And it's never here when everybody else wants it to be here, and that's why they get a lot of backlash. Oh, they're not innovating. Well, they may be innovating, but you just don't have it yet. And just because you don't have it yet doesn't mean I'm not innovating. And it's important that they don't, you know, jump on the bandwagon. Push something out just to make, you know, someone happy about, you know, oh, yeah, we're innovating. You know, check this out. It may work.
Right.
But here you go.
Now, for the small business owner, what's really new about Android is that in Android 4.4, you can change the colors. Now, this is big stuff because we develop for both platforms. We develop Android, iOS, and we're soon developing for Windows platforms. And for a long time, Android apps look like every other single app in the Google Play Store. Gray, white background, black title bar. But with 4.4 and Android L and this new materials-based, you know, UI, you'll be able to do branded experiences finally on smartphones and tablets. Okay, we have a caller on the line. We have Brandon Harris on the line. Brandon, you're on the air.
Okay. So, I guess it's...
So we're talking about Android and iOS and Microsoft Surface tablets and innovation. You have any comments about that?
You know, I feel all of them are doing a lot, but I feel like a lot of times nowadays they really ignore what the consumer truly wants. And it feels like they hype everything up so much now, and it's a really stupid fight to begin with, because regardless of which one your side you're on, they both have great devices, and from a developer standpoint, regardless, you have to support both.
Nice. Good comments.
Good comment.
So from a small business angle, I mean, what would you recommend?
Let me ask you this. Who hypes it, though? That's what I don't understand. Sometimes they say that it's been hyped, and they'll blame Apple for the hype, but it's the media that does it. It's like the Miami Heat. Who's actually hyping it?
I don't even think it's fully the corporation. I mean, they do what they can with their marketing, but it really comes down to the fanboys of Android and iOS.
Exactly.
One's better, that one's better. It's a phone. It can play games. I mean, there's very few apps that that's not cross platform, and so it's like I don't know why people fight anymore. I prefer Android. I like the customizability, but that's about it. With I mean, there's a lot of things that iPhones have, like their messaging systems, better with the group message. But besides that, I don't see much difference.
Yeah, I see a lot of. It looks like they're moving towards the middle. It's almost like politics, you know. The left is moving right, and the right is moving left. Yeah. So it's like it's going to be one. It's going
to
be one OS soon.
One OS
anyway.
To
rule them all. Yeah,
because you look at every time you come up with update, whether it's Windows, Android, whatever, they all are taking features from the operating system. So when you really get down to it, maybe a year or two from now, are they all going to do exactly the same thing, the exact same way, or some tweak or variation? So as a consumer, you're still going to have everything you want no matter what platform you purchase.
That's true. All right, so before we have a little bit of time left, quickly, let's talk about Amazon. Amazon, y'all, is releasing a phone. They're releasing a phone, and the phone looks kind of awesome when you look at the specs on paper. I mean, that's just me. Four cameras on the front. You know, you could take a picture over 100 million items, get information on it, and if you got an Amazon Prime subscription, it'll be at your door in 2 hours. I mean, it's like
I think they should have just made it in the shape of a wallet. So then you would really understand what an Amazon phone is. Right. They want you to buy something.
All right. So for the small business owner, here's the deal: Amazon has released a new phone. They have a service called Firefly, and what Firefly means is that you could be in the wild, you could be in your store, in your shop, and a user or a customer can take a picture, get information on that, and get deals, where to buy, discounts on the item. And of course, ordering from Amazon. Ordering from Amazon. So the thing is that I think the Fire Phone by Amazon is compelling because who is the second largest manufacturer of tablets on the planet? Who is it?
Ooh.
Amazon.
The Kindle Fire. The Kindle Fire.
Well, they give it away. It just ought to be.
Yeah, I have a problem with that statement, though. I have a problem.
They give it away.
The Kindle Fire is the second. It's the iPad and the Kindle Fire series of tablets.
Are they not giving it away?
And so,
but they give it away.
Amazon is about to put this phone on their homepage. It's on the homepage now.
Right.
But it's a 2-year contract. AT&T.
I have a 2-year contract with AT&T, too.
But that's what I'm saying. But they're not giving it away. And you have to pay $200 for a 2-year contract. If you want off contract, it's like $600-some-odd. You talk about the argument for the tablet.
Well, you can make an argument for any phone you buy. True?
True.
I mean,
true. You're still going to buy it subsidized.
Right.
I try not to personally, but that's me.
And as a small business owner, and this is what sometimes I get afraid of is when people start Amazoning things and wanting to buy it off of Amazon, but, you know, match it. Don't let Amazon take away your small business. You should match it. That's my advice to the small business owner.
All right. I still say the Amazon Fire Phone is compelling. It's going to be on their website. But we have seconds left in tonight's show. I want to thank Hurl and Best for coming out. You know, get back to work tomorrow, testing our stuff. On the phone, I have Eldon Hawks from Webster Style Magazine, all around tech guy and great guy. I appreciate all of your questions, and thanks for listening. I'm Will Mapp, your Biz Tech Insider. Stay sharp and stay connected, Baltimore. Peace.
Interested in donating your vehicle to an organization you believe in, like Public Radio WEAA? It's simple. We'll tow your vehicle and you receive a tax deduction in support of the great music, talk, and culture.